Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
CBS, I in the World. I'm John Batchelor. Hotel Mars, episode N. Dr. Livingston, Dr. Space of the Space Show is here as my colleague and co-host and co-pilot. And we're going far away to a phenomenon called the Tasmanian Devil in popular press. However, it is an astronomer's delight to discover something that is not completely understood, not even partially understood, a new thing in the cosmos. And we welcome Professor Dr. Anna Ho, an astronomer, teaches at Department of Astronomy and Space Sciences, Cornell University, most recently publishing in Nature magazine, the premier peer-reviewed magazine in science for Europe. The American version is Science. And the article that she writes with her, publishes with her colleagues, asks some really big questions about what the Tasmanian Devil could possibly be, how many there are, and what we learn from a phenomena that looks like a flashlight going on and off, some kind of emergency. Anna, congratulations and good evening. I know astronomers love the unknown. Well, here we are. You call it the Tasmanian Devil. It's also been called other names. LFBOTS is the technical term, standing for Luminous Fast Blue Optical Transients. Professor, what the heck is that? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thank you so much for having me on the show. Right. So luminous fast blue optical transients, or LFBOTS, these are a type of very short-lived energetic cosmic event of unknown origin. They differ from, say, supernovae in several different ways. For example, they look quite different. Their light is much more powerful than the light from supernovae across most of the electromagnetic spectrum, X-ray, radio, optical. And we primarily discover them using optical light. And in that part of the electromagnetic spectrum, their signal is much faster. So whereas supernovae brighten and fade over weeks, LFBOTS brighten and fade significantly over just a few days. So they're some kind of fast cosmic event, much faster than supernovae, which are pretty well studied at this point, and we don't know what they are.
We don't know what they are. There we have it, David. Your turn.
So they last only a few days, but you have a variety of telescopes that you use in your arsenal to find these. How do you get time on a telescope if they're so short-lived? Because our understanding is it's very competitive to get time on a telescope.
Right. So there are a few different ways, and it depends on the observatory. So in our study, it was really great fun to be able to use. We used almost, I think, 20 different telescopes observing in different parts of the electromagnetic spectrum. So one thing to just clarify is that even though these are quite fast in optical light, so in optical light, they appear and disappear, you know, within just a few days. In other bands, so X-rays or radio, they can go on for months or even years. So the duration of the signal varies a lot depending on what kind of telescope you're using to watch them. So the ways you get time on these different telescopes are kind of one of two ways. Either at the beginning of the year or maybe twice a year, you have an opportunity to submit a proposal and say, okay, if in these 6 months I find one of these LFBOTS somewhere in the sky, I would like to trigger the telescope within maybe 24 hours or within 5 days or something. And then if you find something that satisfies these trigger criteria, then you can basically issue a request for the telescope to look at that part of the sky within the time frame that you specified in your proposal. So there can be kind of a prearranged plan with the observatories. That's one way. But what's fun in this field is that we often find things we weren't expecting at all, which happened in this paper. And then you can't really submit a proposal at the beginning of the year anticipating the unexpected. And so in that case, you can write a proposal for what's called director's discretionary time. So you're just requesting that the director of the observatory use their very precious telescope to look at this totally unanticipated thing. And you have to make the case for why this observation is really important. And so I think I had to write something like five or something of these director's discretionary time proposals for this event, because it was not something that we were expecting.
Now, the Tasmanian devil in question is unusual, yes, in that it flashed on and off,
right,
on and off like a signal. You have,
yes,
choices here about what it could be: a failed, yeah, supernova, an intermediate black hole, or the result, right, of objects interacting with hot, bright stars, something called the Wolf-Rayet stars.
Right.
Those are the choices. Those are the three choices. And as you approach this, that means it's this, that, or something else. Is it possible that it's something we've never seen before, that it does, that those three things don't describe it?
Yes, absolutely. So we know, from the observations that we've made, we can make fairly straightforward physical arguments for, how much energy is involved, how much kind of matter is involved, what velocity the material must be traveling at to produce these kinds of signals. And in the literature, there have been other so-called LFBOT seen, although none of them have flashed like this. And so from all these different clues that we've gotten from many observational campaigns of these general sorts of events, several theories have emerged in the literature where I'd say they've gained the most traction. And so the three that we listed in the paper that you just described are kind of what I would say are the three that maybe have just garnered the most general support, but that doesn't mean that any of them is fully correct. I think it's just that those have come forward as ways to describe all of the really weird features of these sorts of phenomena.
Weird is right, David.
So I read that it seemed like this light or these flashes were targeted. Are they in a code? Do you have to decipher a flashing code? Is it intentionally targeted? What does targeted mean?
Targeted. I don't know what, I'm not sure what that was referring to. It's possible that we were referring to the directionality. So if these were, you could imagine that it's like a beam flashing. And if that beam had been pointing in a different direction, then we wouldn't have seen anything, but they had to be pointing directly at us for us to see them. And it's possible that the reason we haven't seen these sorts of flashes in other LFBOTs or other types of cosmic events is because perhaps in most cases, it's just going in the wrong direction. And in this case, we happen to get lucky. So perhaps that's what we were referring to, but I'd have to see the context.
These phenomena are not very old. I read that the first one, I believe, is within the last decade, and yours adds
2018.
You add to the list. So we're discovering something we've never seen before. Why,
yep,
Anna? That's worrying.
That's a very good question. And really, it's all about technical capabilities. So the way that you look at the sky determines what kinds of things you're able to discover. So these things are happening all through the universe. It's just, can we notice them? And because the way that we make these discoveries are typically with optical telescopes, so what we do, we have an optical telescope, so a telescope sensitive to visible light, and it will basically scan the sky at some rate. And so it used to be a decade ago that the sort of frame rate, so the rate at which you would go back and repeatedly image certain areas of the sky, was about a week or maybe even 2 weeks. And if you do that, you're going to miss anything faster than that because it'll just fall through the cracks, basically. But what's changed is that as of a few years ago, we've started to scan the sky about once a night. So the frame rate of how we've been making movies of the night sky has really increased a lot. And so now that this frame rate is once per night, you can find things that appear and disappear over just several nights. And LFBOTs are one of several different groups of phenomena that we've realized exist in the universe. But you're absolutely right that it's not as if they've only just started. It's that they're happening all the time and our capabilities have changed. And then these flares, it's even more extreme. They appear and disappear within just minutes. And our frame rates are rarely fast enough for that. So it's a sign of things to come, where maybe one day, if we're able to really scan the whole sky once every couple of minutes, we'll find all sorts of things, including these LFBOT flares.
David?
What does Vera Rubin bring to the table when this observatory comes online? Why is that different?
Right. So the telescope that we used to discover the Tasmanian Devil and that we've used to discover the majority of known LFBOTs, the way it works, as I just described, where you scan the night sky once per night, then in your images, you look for things that have changed over the course of, you know, say from one image to the next. And in any given night, this facility, which is called ZTF, generates about 500,000 changes. So it detects about 500,000 changes, which sounds like a lot. But what Vera Rubin's going to bring to the table is it'll increase that number by an order of magnitude. So it'll be 10 times the number of changes detected every night. And the reason the number is going to go up so much is because Vera Rubin is basically a bigger telescope. It's a bigger light bucket. And so it's able to detect things that are fainter. So it's able to look further out in the universe. And when you are able to look out further in the universe, you're able to capture more of the things that are happening in it. So it's kind of a, yeah, it's just, it's a more sensitive telescope. And so it'll find about 10 times more changes in the night sky than we're currently able to.
Looking at the three possibilities that are offered in the initial, what is this like? Failed supernova doesn't satisfy me because that wouldn't happen in minutes. That would happen over time. I like, though, intermediate mass black hole because I don't understand it. What's that referring to?
Sure. Well, just one thing is that the time for a star to collapse is only 1 second. So these are very fast events, actually, which is amazing because these are such huge objects. So these things can happen very quickly. So I don't think that's a huge issue. But an intermediate mass black hole, that's very different from, it's not, nothing related to a supernova at all. And that's that, so in the universe, we know that we have black holes that are made in the aftermath of, they're made by stars. And so they're stellar mass black holes. We also have supermassive black holes that exist at the centers of galaxies. So there are galaxies, the Milky Way has its own supermassive black hole. So we have stellar mass black holes, which can maybe be about, they can get up to maybe 100 times the mass of the sun. Supermassive black holes start at around 1 million times the mass of the sun. And they can go to, you know, 1 billion times the mass of the sun. So then there's a gap from about 100 times the mass to maybe 1 million times the mass. And a big open question in astronomy is, are there black holes that are intermediate mass? And there have been a lot of efforts to find them. One of the hypotheses for LFBOTs is that they are the manifestation of these missing intermediate mass black holes, because there are some characteristics of these events that look like what would happen if an intermediate mass black hole were to disrupt a nearby star, basically. So there are some things about them that kind of, if you interpret them as this sort of event, the mass that you can infer for the black hole would make it an intermediate mass black hole. So that's what that means.
So it's not too hot, not too cold, just right, just like the three bears. And you're talking about the middle bear, mama bear, just right.
Right.
All right.
Exactly.
Now, yep. What is mama bear eating? Is that flash would be eating a star? Eating
yes,
gas?
It would be a star. That's right.
So yep. So what we're looking at would be commonplace. It worries me, Anna. It's a minor detective in me that we've never seen this before. Worries me.
Yes. It's a very good point. And so when you're trying to figure out whether a certain theory can fit, one of the most important things you have to account for is the rates. So the question would be, do the rates make sense? I would say at the moment, one of the issues is that the rates of these LFBOTs is really not clear, because we're not finding them. We've only just started to find them. And so we've only really started to learn about how to find them and how to recognize them. And until you really feel confident, so I'm not confident, I don't think anyone's confident right now that we're finding all of them. We're probably missing a lot of them.
Right.
And so we don't really know their rates. And so the uncertainty in the rates is factors of, you know, maybe 100 even. So it's very difficult now to try to connect the observed rates with the predicted rates for these different theories. But one of the things that will get much better soon, when we're already improving a lot, is our ability to find them and therefore our estimate or measurement of their rate. And as you said, that's really important.
Early days of the Tasmanian devil with Dr. Anna Ho, an astronomer and professor of astronomy and space sciences, Department of Astronomy and Space Sciences at Cornell University, David Livingston, Dr. Space, the Hotel Mars. When we come back, we're going to give the doctor an unlimited budget and ask where she's going next. Hotel Mars, I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.